Well, welcome to Hoboken Grace. For those of you who are with us for the first time, or for those who are listening online, my name is Chris High. I'm the teaching pastor here at Hoboken Grace. And last week, we kicked off our new series, Lifted. And we're talking about this idea of encouragement. The passage that we began with last week, and that's going to carry through this series for us, is Ephesians 4:29. It says this. It says, "Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful, so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them." And so we started off with this question of, okay, how do I live my life in such a way that everything that I say is an encouragement to those around me? And as we began last week, we laid out three foundational truths that we're going to build upon today. I just want to remind you of them again. Number one, encouragement is not making someone feel better. It is building hope and confidence. The actual definition of encouragement is to build hope and confidence. This isn't just that we're making the people around us feel better, but that we're actually building hope and confidence. Number two, encouragement must be based on truth. If we make someone feel better, but it's not based on truth, it's worthless. It's just flattery. Encouragement must be based on truth. Number three, our hope and our confidence is found in what Christ has done for us, not in our own righteousness, not in our own goodness, not in anything of ourselves, but in what Christ has done for us. And I told you last week as we wrapped that up that when we begin to see people the way that God sees people, when we begin to see sin the way that God sees sin, when we begin to see hope and confidence the way that God sees hope and confidence, it changes the way that we speak encouragement into almost every situation around us. It doesn't really matter where we are. It changes the way that we encourage the people around us. And today what I want to do is I want to build on what we talked about last week and begin to actually talk through, okay, how does it change the way we speak into one another's lives? How do we begin to, based on this foundation, how do we begin to speak hope and confidence into the lives of the people around us? And we've got a lot of things to be able to talk through and work through today, and so we're going to dive right into it. As we walk through this today, I'm going to kind of phrase it or frame it in two different situations. The first situation is that situation where you get a phone call from your friend and you think it's going to be great because you know you're really close with this person, and so they call you up. You answer the phone, "Hey, great to see you," or "Great to hear from you." And it's kind of a little quiet on their end, and they begin to share with you something that just floors you. And so maybe you pick up, "Hey, great to talk to you. How you doing? Listen, I just want to let you know, I think Beth and I are getting a divorce." And you're like, Or you pick up the phone, "Hey, what's going on, man? How you doing?" I got fired this afternoon. I don't know what I'm going to do. I've got like a month before I'm going to have to move out of my place. The first situation is that phone call that you get. And then there's usually like a couple things happening inside of you when you get that phone call. The first is like, "Oh my goodness, what am I going to say? What am I going to do? What's happening here?" And you're trying to feel for your friend. The other thing running through your head is like, "Why did I pick up the phone? Why? Maybe it's just me. But why?" Right? It's those situations where you don't know what to do or where to turn or where to go. The second situation in which I want to frame this, and this is a situation where many of you find yourself throughout the week, is an employer and employees. And maybe it's not an employer and employees, maybe it's a manager and those who you manage. But to put in the situation of, and for many of you, you go to work every week and there are people who report to you. And that situation where you know that you need to have a difficult conversation with that person who reports to you or who works for you, and so you want to be able to build hope and confidence in that person, but you realize that this is a really difficult conversation that you have, and maybe they haven't been performing, or maybe there's just something difficult about the way that they're interacting with the people around them, and so you realize that you have to talk to them about it. And so how do you step into that situation, whether it's your friend who calls you and drops this bomb on you, or whether it's you stepping into the life of the person who reports to you. How do you speak hope and confidence in the lives of the people that you're engaging? And I think when you come to God's Word, there are several principles that that it shares with us that kind of guide us in the midst of these conversations. And if you have your notes with you, as you walked in today, you received a program. Inside there, there's a little notes card. I encourage you just to take that out. You can jot these down, especially the passages, because they're not going to be on the screen for that long. And so make sure you jot those down. If you're on the YouVersion Live, all of that's there for you. And then you can also, for those of you who haven't used it, you can take notes there and then email them to yourself. It's a great way to begin kind of putting together information on the passages that we're talking through on a weekly basis. But how do I begin to speak lives into those moments? How do I begin to speak life into those moments and those situations and those people's lives? Number one, it begins with love. And even as I was walking through this and preparing this, I kept saying that. And in my head and in my heart, I kept thinking, you know what? I mean, that's so simple. I mean, it's kind of a given. It begins with love. But the more that I processed it, I couldn't get away from it. And the more that I processed it, the more crucial I realized that it was that we talked about this. Because when your friend calls you, or when you engage with that employee or that person who reports to you, if you're going to speak hope and confidence into that person's life, it has to begin with love. It has to begin with your caring for that individual. Because if you speak from anything else, if your words come from any other place than love and care, then the Bible says that they actually become worthless and that they become ineffective. Listen to what it says in 1 Corinthians 13:2. The more I hear this verse, the more it blows me away. It says, if I had the gift of prophecy, in other words, if I could see the future, and if I understood all of God's secret plans, in other words, I understood everything that God understands and had all knowledge, not just man's knowledge, but all of God's knowledge. In other words, if I had all the right answers every single time. So every time someone comes to me, every time I get that phone call, man, I've got the right answers. I know the truth. I have all of the knowledge. And if I had such faith that I could move mountains but didn't love others, I would be nothing. You see, if we don't begin this conversation with love and the fact that we need to care about those to whom we're speaking, then the truth is, the Bible says that whatever we have to offer, whatever we have to bring to the table is worthless. And so you may be able to help that employee finish his job or get done whatever he needs to get done, but when it comes to building hope and confidence in that person's life, you will fail. Because you can have all the right answers, but if you don't have love behind it, it's worthless. You say, well, what else would it be? There's a lot of other things that drive us in the midst of these conversations. Sometimes it's pride and, hey, listen, you know what? I can speak into this situation. I know this situation. I can help you out. I can fix your problem. Sometimes it's selfish ambition. And so we're having that conversation with our employee and we're trying to help them, but it's not really about them. It's about us. And so we're sharing this with them so that they can do their job, so that we look better doing our job, or so that we make more money, whatever it may be. There are a lot of different things that can drive us in the midst of these conversations. And if selfish ambition or pride or anything else comes into it, it will render your words worthless when it comes to true encouragement. It must begin with love. And I realize for some of you here, and you're like, you know, I need to love my employees. I need to love those who report to me. And depending on what business books you've read all sorts of different things about the relationship between someone who works for someone and someone who, you know, people who work for you and what that should look like. I'm not saying you should hang out every day, but I am telling you this, right? Because the idea of how much time and all that, you can read the business books to figure that out. When you come to God's word, it's very clear. You should love the people around you, whether you work for them or they work for you. No ifs, ands, or buts. It doesn't say in God's word, listen, you should love people unless they report to you. No, you should love the people around you. And I realize that that's difficult. People come to me all the time. Sometimes they're in this exact situation, and they're in the midst of a difficult conversation with someone. And they come to me and they say, I'm in this situation, and I really hate this person. How do I love them? Have you ever found yourself in that place, right? You want to love them, but they're so hard to love. I mean, it seems like every time you try to love them, they do something that makes it more difficult. They say, well, how do I begin to love that person? And I actually can't take you to God's Word to be able to share this principle with you, because there's nowhere in God's Word where it actually says this. I can only share this with you out of personal experience and out of the experience that I've seen in the lives of the people around me. If you want to love someone who's difficult to love, if you've been trying to break down that barrier, I can't figure out how to be able to care for them. How do I do that? Begin to pray for them. If you begin to pray for someone, it will change your heart regarding that individual. You have someone who works for you that you just, man, the second they walk in the door, right on the tip of your tongues, it's just like, you're fired, right? Like, you can't wait for that day when you get to tell them, you're fired. You're hoping they get transferred. You want to begin to love that person? Pray for them. And I'm not talking about praying about them or praying around them. Because sometimes what we do is we actually pray for ourselves, but we think we kind of act like we're praying for them. And so we're like, God, I pray that you would help them to do a better job at their job. But it's not really about them. It's about us, right? Like, we're praying so that they don't annoy me. Right? God, you know, and then sometimes we'll pray for ourselves. We'll kind of pray around them, like, God, help me to be able to deal with this idiot. That's not what I'm talking about. That's not praying for them. And if you want to actually care about someone, I've experienced this over and over and over again in my life. I remember in college, we had an honors program, and in part of that, we had took this huge wilderness trip, and we'd go out to the middle of nowhere, Canada, and I was just getting to be a part of this, kind of introduced to this. I didn't know anyone who was a part of this. And so I was kind of excited to be able to go on this trip. And I had led wilderness trips in the past, so I knew a lot about where we were going and what it was going to look like. And so I was super excited to be able to just go on the trip. And then about 2 weeks before the trip began, the guy who put this thing together, who I'd worked for before in Canada, called me up and said, hey, listen, I'd like for you to actually lead half the trip. You're going to take half of the group, and you're going to lead the whole thing. And I was like, I don't even know these people. And this was supposed to be like a really significant spiritual moment in these kids' lives. And I'm just a peer of theirs. And now I'm leading this trip. I don't even know who they are. And I remember going to God and just being like, God, how in the world am I going to lead these people? How in the world am I going to be able to make this a significant moment in their lives? I don't even know who they are. All I had was a list of names. And I felt like God was beginning to work in my heart to say, listen, you need to pray for them every day for the next 2 weeks. And can I tell you something? I did that. And when we started that trip, I have never cared more for someone that I had never met before. It's unbelievable what happens in your heart. I've experienced this myself. I've seen other people experience it. When you begin to actually pray for people, you hit your knees and say, God, listen, I want to pray for Tom. And God, you know we don't get along that well, but God, I want to pray for his family. I want to pray for his relationship with his wife. I pray that you would just bless it. I pray that you keep his kids safe. And you begin to actually pray for that person. There's something that happens. And if you want to find out what it means to begin to speak hope and confidence in the lives of people around you, it starts with love. And if you have a hard time loving, then you need to begin to pray for that person. Some of you walk in here to Hoboken Grace, and one of the things that people say all the time when they come into Hoboken Grace is, listen, I walked in, and it was like everybody loved me right from the very beginning. I didn't understand it. It was so accepting and so loving. And part of that, a big part of that, is the fact that we've been praying about you for a very long time. As a team, as a church, we pray for our city and for those who have not yet walked in those doors over and over and over again. Every Friday, the first Friday of every single month, we get together here for this thing called Worship Nights, one of the most important meetings of our month. And we get together here, and you know what we do? We pray for our city. We've been praying for you for a long time before you walk in. There are people who set this up every single week. We've been doing this for years, hoping that you would show up so that we get the chance to be able to love you. There's something that happens when you begin to pray for people. 1 Timothy 2:1 says, I urge you, first of all, to pray for all people. Ask God to help them. Intercede on their behalf and give thanks for them. If we're going to do this, it begins with love. It continues with humility. You must enter the situation with complete humility. And so you walk into that situation with the employee or the person who reports to you. You walk into that situation with your friend. You pick up that phone call. You must enter the situation with humility. And what I mean by that is that you begin the conversation in your head. You come at it from the perspective of, I don't have anything to offer. The truth is, I don't have anything to offer to this person. And this can be with big things or small things. We should always operate this way. We should always operate from the perspective of humility. In other words, I can't fix this person. I can't help this person. The advice that I have to offer probably isn't going to get you very far, right? It's a position of humility. The first thing that happens when you enter into the conversation from a position of humility is that you shut up. Because when you understand I don't have a lot to offer, you don't talk first, you listen first. You shut up. This is going to be life-changing for some of you. I remember growing up, the verse that my parents taught me more than any other verse, I don't know if they thought I was stupid or what, but the verse that they taught me more than any other verse was found in Proverbs 17:28. It says this, it says, even fools are thought to be wise when they keep silent. With their mouths shut, they seem intelligent. I don't know. I've talked to them about it a couple different times. They always change the subject. But, I mean, they just drilled this into my head as a kid. It was actually a little bit different translation. It was a little harsher than this. It was even a fool seems smart if he shuts up. And the truth is, in your life, for some of you, when you find yourselves in these situations, rather than entering from the position of humility, rather than saying, I've got nothing to offer, you just begin to talk. And you begin to share advice. And some of you don't even wait for the person to get done. And in the process, you look like a fool. And you are not doing anything to build hope and confidence in the person with which you're speaking. For some of you, the people who report to you, they can't stand you because of the fact that you won't even take the time to hear them out. Before you're speaking into that situation, and you look like a fool. You need to shut up. To say, okay, wait. I don't have anything to offer here. I'm going to listen. James 1:19 says this. It says, understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. You must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Listen first. The other side of this is the fact that when you find yourself in those situations and you want to speak, like you want to, you're like, man, I want to say something. Your first inclination, and I think this is true for all of us, your first inclination is to say something that's going to help the person feel better. But remember what we talked about last week? This isn't about helping people feel better. This is about building hope and confidence. And so you're going to say something that will help the person feel better, but most of the time, it's not even going to be true. And so your friend calls you, pick up the phone, they're like, man, I've lost my job. And so you want to make them feel better, so you even include God in it, and you're like, hey, listen, God's going to help you find a better job. And God's up there, he's listening, he's like, I didn't say that. He like turns to the Spirit, did you say that? No, I didn't say that. Did you say, no, that's a joke, okay? Like, I understand the Father and the Spirit are one, right? And that they know that's a joke. Don't come up to me afterwards and talk to me. I understand the Trinity. I get it, right? But the point is we say things and it's not even true. And it doesn't build hope and confidence because you know it's not true and they know it's not true. Listen. Stop talking. In dinner group, if you're the first one to give advice in every situation, you need to shut up. Listen. Enter from the perspective of humility. I can't solve this problem. I can't fix this situation. My staff jokes around because I take a long time to answer questions. They give me a really hard time about this. If you ever had a conversation with me, it's slightly true. And John was telling a story the other day about the fact that he's in a meeting with me, and he finally decided that he was just going to wait for me to answer. And so the person asked us a question. It was a pretty intense question, so I was trying to process it. And he said he's sitting there, and he said 10 minutes later. I think that's a little bit of an exaggeration. But it could be true. And he says, sitting there, and he's waiting for me to answer, and I'm processing this, and part of it's because of what my parents taught me, right? Like, don't talk until you know what you're going to say. Like, don't just say things to say things. And he said it got to the point where he was beyond thinking about the answer. He's just wondering, what does this person think? They think we're crazy. They think, like, someone needs to say something. And a lot of it is the fact that I'm processing things. But the truth is, sometimes it goes way beyond that. And sometimes I'll sit in counseling situations, and this will happen, and I know the people sitting across from me think that I'm processing all of the possible answers to this, but the truth is, there's really only two words that are going through my head. Help me. Help me. I can't tell you how many times I sit in those situations and I'm just sitting there, God, I got nothing. God, I can't fix this situation. God, I got nothing to offer this person. God, I need you to help me. Please help me. Because you see, I learned a long time ago that if you're going to build hope and confidence in the lives of the people around you, it begins with love. It continues with humility. And then from there, you begin to seek the Spirit. Because one of the things that I've learned is that the people around you don't just need truth. Sometimes we think they just need truth, man. And so we'll step into people's lives, and as we are in those conversations or in those situations, we're just sharing truth. And you encounter those people, and sometimes those people are like, you know what, I just share what's on my mind. I just share, I just share the truth in the situation. I just tell it how it is. I keep it real. I love what Irwin McManus said about that. He says, you don't keep it real, you're just hurtful. And I learned a long time ago that in those situations, people don't just need truth, they need wisdom. And wisdom is the ability to be able to know what needs to be said in that moment, in that circumstance, to that individual. Wisdom is the ability to realize what truth needs to be brought into that moment in order to build hope and confidence. And guess what, guys? We don't have it. If it's just about sharing truth, then we can have confidence because, man, I know this and I learned this over here and so I'm going to share it. But that's not what the people around you need. They need for you to know exactly what truth needs to be shared at that moment because sometimes they need to hear different things at different times. And so sometimes that person who reports to you needs to know that, listen, we didn't bring you on this team because we thought you weren't going to make it. We believe in you. We're behind you 100%. And then other times they need you to step in and say, listen, you have to do this or you're going to lose your job. Wisdom is the ability to know when and where truth needs to be shared and how it needs to be shared. And guess what? I've come to realize I don't have a clue when it comes to that. And so you're sitting across from the person who's going through the divorce. What truth are you going to share with them? Because in that moment, maybe they need to hear that God loves them. In that moment, maybe they need to hear what God has to say about divorce. In that moment, there are a million different truths that come into that situation. What are you going to share? And I find myself over and over again sitting there saying, God, help me. And the beautiful thing about God's word is that in James, God says, if you need wisdom, ask our generous God and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. Again, Colossians 1:9, so we have not stopped praying for you since we first heard about you. We ask God to give you complete knowledge of his will and to give you spiritual wisdom and understanding. In those moments, you must seek the Spirit if you're going to build hope and confidence. To say, okay, God, this isn't about what I want to say to this person. This isn't about what I think the answer is to this problem. God, what do you want to say to this person? Because I just want to be a tool in his hand. God, what do you want to say to this person right now? And in the midst of those conversations, guys, that should be the prayer that's just running through your head over and over and over again. Okay, God, what do you want to say to this person? God, how can I help them? As we talked about last week about how God makes us new. God, how can I help them realize that they're new? God, how can I, what do you want to speak into this person's life? And then from there, so it starts with love. It continues with humility. We seek God's Spirit, and then from there, we speak God's word and not our opinion. You see, Psalms 119, 105 says this. It says, your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. God's word is what gives us confidence about the direction in which we're headed. God's word is what gives us confidence about the direction in which we're pointing other people. And so in those moments, we don't speak our own opinion. We speak God's word. This is why it's crucial that you're taking in God's word over and over and over again. And one of the things I'm really excited about is that for a lot of you, as we've walked this past year, you've been tracking with us on our Bible blog and with our Bible reading. And for the first time in your life, you're going to have read through most of the Bible. And maybe you dropped off here and there, and that's okay. And maybe, you know, Leviticus hit, and you're like, I got to take a break. And you came back. But you've been taking in God's word on a consistent basis. And you know what that gives you the ability to do? That gives you the ability to step into these moments and speak God's word instead of your own opinion. You see, I don't have any confidence in my own opinion. I have incredible confidence in God's word. And one of the things that I found as I'm sitting there saying, God, what do you want to say to this person? God, how do you want to speak to this person? One of the things that I've found is that it's not like God's like, well, I want you to say, and then he walks this through. One of the things that he does over and over and over again for me is that he'll bring back to my mind a passage that I've read or a story that I've read somewhere in his word that he's addressed this situation and this issue or a principle that speaks into this moment. You see this in the life of Jesus Christ when he's led by the Spirit out into the wilderness to be able to be tempted. And as he's interacting with Satan's temptation through the Spirit, all of a sudden these passages come back to him and he speaks them into that moment. And if we're going to build hope and confidence in the lives of the people around us, it's not going to be based on my opinion. You're not going to have any confidence if I share my opinion. Real hope and real confidence is built on God's word, what Christ has done for that person, the promises God has for that person. And so we make it a priority to take it in as much as we possibly can so that we can speak it into the lives of those around us. And I realize as we talk about this that for some of you, you're sitting here and you're saying, man, that's a lot. I mean, that's a lot to be able to walk through with someone. I mean, can't I just answer the phone and be like, I'll pray for you? Can't I just answer the phone and say, I'm sorry? Not if you want to discover what it means to be a part of this family. Because being a part of this family means that we take on the responsibility of encouraging those around us, building hope and confidence. And I am super passionate about this right now because our church is getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And as our church gets bigger and bigger, I am going to be able to have less and less of these conversations with you. I'm going to be able to have less and less of these personal interactions with the people who are part of our family. And it is crucial that we learn how to be able to do this. It's crucial that every single one of you understands that you can do this in the lives of the people around you. You see, God doesn't just bring pastors to be able to speak into people's lives. God has given you the same exact Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, so that you can move into the lives of the people around you and speak his word in such a way that it brings healing. It's not just about me speaking it, it's about you speaking it to each other. And I realize as we walk through this that, man, the first couple of times you do this, it's terrifying. Believe me, I've sat in those places and said, okay, God, what do you want me to say? What do you want me to say? And it means that we do have to be serious about taking in God's word. But here's the thing. This is what it means to be a brother and a sister. To be able to step into one another's lives and build hope and confidence. You were brought into this family to encourage. And if we're going to encourage, we must come from the place of love. If we're going to encourage, we must enter with humility. If we're going to encourage, we must depend and seek his Spirit. If we're going to encourage, we must speak his word and not our opinion. But here's the thing, guys. You can. You can. You have his Spirit. You can. If you depend on him and you depend on his word, you can. Will you pray with me? Father, I want to pray for those who are here who as they're interacting with this, maybe they find themselves in one of these situations, and Father, they're overwhelmed, and Father, I pray that this would be an incredible encouragement to them. That, listen, the fact that you're overwhelmed is a good thing. You're realizing the reality that you don't have anything to bring into the situation. But Father, I pray that they would not just be overwhelmed with the situation, but that they would be overwhelmed with the truth that your Spirit lives inside them, that your Spirit can speak through them to bring hope and healing to the lives of the people around them. Father, I pray that we would trust you in those moments. I pray that we would leave behind our wisdom, that we would leave behind this idea that we can fix it, this idea that we can help. We'd stop asking, okay, what do I know? And we'd start asking, God, what do you want to say to this person? I pray that we would become a community of healing, because through your Spirit, we're speaking your word into one another's lives. In Jesus' name, amen.